The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, we're back. Jason and John, 97 FM, ESPN. Dan Williams, former Tennessee Volunteer, Oakland Raider, Arizona Cardinal, is going to join us at 125. Talk NFL with him, college football with him, some things he's doing around the community. He'll join us at 125. It's always nice to catch up with him. I actually saw him out and about a couple weeks ago. And just, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, I know I said this in the open, but I just don't, how does he have a mean streak? Like, where, how is, you know, every time I've seen, he's like the nicest guy in the world. But there just has to be a side of him that comes out on those NFL Sundays when he was on the field. I mean, you don't make it unless you know, you have that.
Yes, we ask them to walk a fine line, be gentle giants off the field, but be incredibly violent on it.
Exactly.
And you have to be able to control that. Yeah.
Some like Greg Hardy couldn't.
Some like, cannot.
He was just violent all the time. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, it's not easy. But if I met Dan Williams on the street, I'd be like, you know, that guy wasn't a football player. He's just like a big dude who's really freaking nice, you know, like a bodyguard or something. But anyway, I don't know. I might ask him about that. He'll join us at 1:25. So, looking forward to that. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. Yeah, last night NFL football wrapped up week one, and thanks to an explosive fourth quarter there from J.J. McCarthy, who for the previous three quarters had been absolutely abysmal. But thanks to a great fourth quarter, an all-time fourth quarter in some ways, the Minnesota Vikings go on the road in game one of the season and win as a – they were actually – I think by the time it kicked off, they might have been – I think it was a pick, but the juice was favored to the Bears. So, I mean, there was just so much money, so much steam on the Bears. And, you know, for three quarters, it looked like it was correct. But J.J. McCarthy became the first quarterback in NFL history to account for three touchdowns in the fourth quarter of his NFL debut. He joined Steve Young as the only quarterbacks in the past 45 years to overcome a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter of their debut and win. I know there was a stat with Fran Tarkenton. I think he was like the first Vikings quarterback in his debut to have multiple touchdowns, joining Fran Tarkenton. Pretty amazing. Jaden Daniels didn't look like this in his debut. C.J. Stroud didn't look like this in his debut. No, we're talking about one game, honestly. It doesn't mean anything. But other great debuts in NFL history from quarterbacks, I'm going to give you a couple. How about Marcus Mariota?
How about it?
He had four touchdowns in his NFL debut. How about that? I looked this up yesterday. I was like,
part of why Bennett still loves him to this day.
Right. He actually had a perfect passer rating.
Wow.
In that game. C.J. Stroud had like 260 yards, but he didn't have any touchdowns in his debut.
And it's funny. I think about what I said first segment about, you know, knowing that you've got your guy, even in the, you know, because of what he battled through, we would have said the same thing after that first game, four yes. touchdowns for Mariota.
Yes.
And he certainly wasn't a guy. I mean, he's an NFL player.
No,
but he wasn't the franchise quarter. What was he, the two pick? I mean, it didn't work out. So, but I'm sure we were saying after a perfect passer rating, as far as I didn't realize he'd had that great a game.
Cam Newton, his first NFL game, had 422 yards and two touchdowns.
He was a stud out the gate.
RG3. Had two touchdowns and 320 yards in his debut.
Early on, it looked like RG3 was that dude.
Yeah. Trevor Lawrence had 332 yards, three touchdowns, but three picks in his debut.
Yeah. See, none of that's going to – I mean, if you look at McCarthy's stats overall last night, it doesn't come close to those. It's about what he did right there in the fourth quarter and the three touchdowns. It's really one quarter for McCarthy more than anything than some prolific pass game. And, again, he may never be that guy. But what he did look like, as I like the sort of the example you used, he did look like a guy that could be like a Jalen Hurts in terms of just making winning plays. Again, it's about, in a lot of cases, NFL quarterbacks just about keeping it simple, man, and making the simple play and not trying to be the hero. And J.J. McCarthy doesn't look like a guy who's going to, you know, thinks he it should look this way or you've got to rebuild in the way that you do. Caleb has been behind the, you know, in the shotgun all his career. You got to make him under center. You got to get rid of him. No, I mean, he's built to win, and, you know, he'll probably get better. That was scary to see, though, as an NFC North member.
Yes.
You know, what he did in that fourth quarter. But it did, you know, some of those debuts with the 300 some yards, it's a different kind of debut.
Yeah, I mean, you know, again, and I'm sure there are some Eagles fans out there that are saying, hold on, bro, pump the brakes on comparing this guy to Jalen Hurts, like he ain't done nothing yet. And that's fair.
No, it's in the way that he won't be a prolific passer. That's the comparison. But can that's, still lead. That's where your comparison yes. is good.
Yes.
Yes, but can still lead in being a winning quarterback. Absolutely. Absolutely. Maybe not even Darnold type in terms of the year he did last year.
Yep.
Like you win a different way. He may develop into that. We don't. I mean, he's got freaking Justin Jefferson and Addison. Like that's Hockenson, who barely had a game last. I mean, he, you know, he's out there last night.
Yep.
He's got all kinds of. So he may grow into that. He is not that right now, and that's why we would say he could be like Jalen Hurts in that way.
Absolutely.
Because Jalen doesn't beat you like that.
No, no, he does not. No, he does not. And so, I think that's absolutely, you know, what
winner.
I would target. But who knows? I mean, it's just not. It's not necessarily. We don't know. And he may not have to be that. We don't know. But it was a very promising debut for the Minnesota Vikings. No question about that. You know, some things to figure out for the Bears. I think Ben Johnson's really good. I think he's really good. I think there was a couple of things you kind of notice. You know, like it's nice having a Jahmyr Gibbs, you know. When you have a guy like that in an offense that he was coming away from, I mean, that opens up a lot of things.
Yeah, you do not have Detroit's run game, which was the foundation that Ben could lay the creativity layer on top of.
Yep.
You know, that physical line, their run game, that's when you've got that foundation, you know, putting all the tricks and go to St. Brown and the fake fumble, all that stuff, you play. And that's what he got to do. You don't have that that foundation with it. And that's why you kick that field goal in the first half as opposed to going for it.
Right.
You are not them yet.
Yep.
You hope to become them at some point.
Yep.
You are not there in the process. In fact, you are just beginning. Take the points for a team that's trying to find its foundation.
Yes, yes.
That was a mistake by him, like we talked about. There are criticisms of Ben that should come out of this as well.
Yeah, no, I think everybody has some things that they can...
Had a replay, a challenge that was foolish.
Terrible challenge.
It was?
Mean, I guess I get it because you're just trying to get something.
No, it's foolish. It's foolish.
Yeah. Because it ended up, you know, costing you because you didn't have the time out there late. You know, I mean, you just never know. I mean, you just never know how you might... Need to touch. You should never throw away a challenge. It doesn't matter how much you're up. It doesn't matter, you know, time. Like, you should not throw away challenges.
Yep.
Unless it's like the final 3 minutes of the game and you're up 17 and you just have to use it or whatever.
And I would point almost first to 12 penalties, 127. You cannot win an NFL game like that. You cannot be a consistent winner in this league with double-digit penalties.
Yep.
And that was, for the most part, all night long. The entire right side. Darnell Wright is in his third year from Tennessee. He's like a top 10 pick. He should be beyond this now, you know, on that right side. And so that was for some of the new guys, okay, maybe I understand it, but he's been there. Yeah, I think he had two false starts and a holding. Like, that can't happen. So there's so much still just in the lines themselves, the foundationally, that Ben's got to understand. Dude, you know, I got more than just trying to be a quarterback whisperer for this guy. You know, I got to get this foundation completely built from the line, the ground up. Before I start worrying about too much the creativity and all the, you know, all this extra stuff.
Right.
That's where you know, football, it's still football in the end. It's football. You got to go back to football 101.
All right.
And if you ain't physical enough up there, you're going
to
lose the battle.
I'm reading this as we're talking about it. I do think we should at least introduce this to the conversation about Ben Johnson. There are some people saying that if you intentionally did kick that ball out of bounds, they could just have you re-kick. And they would have done that.
The plan, it goes back to what you said, is for Cairo to kick it through so no time comes off the clock. That was what he expected Cairo to do.
Well, and he should not have expected him because he can't.
I mean,
if he doesn't have the leg, he doesn't have the leg.
And you should know that before the game of whether or not your guy can do it instead of whether it was wishing a prayer or Cairo telling you, coach, I got it.
Right.
But the point of kicking it into the end zone there. And O'Connell, did you see him? The returner, I don't know what his name, but he's looking, and O'Connell's saying, come out because they are not going to have the two-minute warning.
Yep.
And again, Ben Johnson, that you can chalk it up as a mistake either way, because you had the Cairo missed a 50-yarder. The guy's weak-legged. You texted it to me. I hate it, but it's true. The guy has one of the weakest legs in the league. He couldn't get it through the end zone to save the time, to save the two-minute warning. But that's what that was. That's why Ben elected to do that. Instead of just kicking it out of bounds. Or
yeah.
But like you said, I didn't think you'd just kick it out of bounds.
Right, right. So, I mean, that you know, unfortunate. You know, you wish you would have had a timeout. You lost because of the challenge. I'll also say this.
He looked rookie-ish. He looked like a rookie coach, rookie head coach. He did.
I'll also say this for the Bears in a defense. I mean, they were down their top two DBs. I mean, and that matters. That does matter. Jalen Johnson didn't play. Kyler Gordon didn't play.
Yeah, but your backup had a pick six. Like, you had control of that game, 17-6, and it completely flipped. Now we can, again, hook it on Caleb. The mistakes he made on that drive where it looked like the Bears, they're running the ball. DeAndre Swift, he's trucking guys. But those plays where he's, you know, intentional grounding, back you up, Cairo misses. But back to the point, defense seemed like at that point, like they uh-oh. Now we're going to blow it. It's like almost on that side, too, a defense that had dominated the game. And so Dennis Allen, those guys, too, you got to make adjustments at some point. McCarthy's figured you out. He's, okay, now all of a sudden he's got the confidence. You got to throw something else at him. That did not happen. So there's disappointment on all kinds of sides for the Bears. There's no real need to try to pull something positive out for the Bears losing that home opener.
Right.
You know, y'all got a lot to prove from the coach on down to the quarterback on down, the last guy on the roster.
It's true. And that will start after, this week. But that'll officially wrap up what was we missed NFL, and it delivered. NFL delivered in week one.
Did it ever.
I mean, every standalone game was good. Cowboys was good. Chiefs was good. Bills, Ravens was good. And last night was good. All four standalone primetime games were absolute slobber knockers. I mean, what was the worst game of that bunch?
I don't know.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like every game, you know, you were locked into until the absolute end. I don't love the Brazil thing. I got to say, because the problem with the Brazil thing is that Rich Eisen, from wherever he was calling that game, he couldn't see. He couldn't see the play. He was like, and 2-point conversion is good. Oh, no. He drops it. It's like, come on, man. What? You know, like they must have had that dude somewhere else. I don't know where he was at. But other than that, I have no major complaints. Great NFL week one. You know, in terms of the fantasy thing, it's 1 week. Yeah, I lost. Burrow had 8 points. I'm going to lose every week if Burrow has 8 points. I mean, that's just the bottom line. We know we have to be better, and we know we will be better. FedEx Forum lease. And, you know, the reality is that we've got a week of preparation. We're coming up against George's rat team. His team's terrible. And, you know, we look forward to getting back, to 500 and going on a run here.
Be careful. That's what Gabe said about mine. You know how this goes. But
no, he accused –
calling George team sorry.
He accused you of some dastardly things. Gabe accused you of auto-drafting or just taking the highest-ranked player available.
No. Not highest-ranked player. Of scrolling down and looking for rookies and guys who weren't, right, trying to be different is what I was – look at my – I have rookies and first and second-year players as the whole roster.
Yeah.
That's what the accused. You have to keep it accurate.
You know, I'm looking at George's team. I mean, it's just not – there's not a lot to it, man. There's just not a lot to it.
Look at Brad's team and what it scored.
Brad's got Josh Allen.
That's more relevant to our show.
Brad's got Josh Allen, right, man. And if you got Josh Allen in fantasy, man, you're alive. You're alive every
single
week.
I notice your projection is high again this week, Brad. It looks like a former two-time champion.
Yeah, I mean, he's got Jamar. He's got Josh Allen.
Has quietly built
Brock Bowers.
A nice team.
There you go.
Last night was a sweat, though. Adunze didn't come around until they targeted him in the fourth. So I was waiting. I'm like, when are we going to get some points, Adunze?
Did you need him?
I did need him to at least finish it off. And then he took over. But, you know, they didn't really target him until the fourth quarter.
You're just trying to put the finishing touches on a big win, huh? Did you really need it?
No,
he was my flex.
See, like, I needed to be – I beat Gabe by one
point. No, but
point.
I had the – who's the running back? The Jones is the three-back from Minnesota. He was my other guy, so they were playing at the same time.
You killed George by 24.
Yeah, but it was late. If you look at I was only the one watching it.
Well, congrats on your win.
It was – you had to wait on Minnesota and the Bears still on Monday night.
Dude, Gabe had Hawkinson. I had the Minnesota defense and Holston Loveland. Wow. We were essentially tied one by – less than a point, I believe.
Hey,
damn,
nice.
You know, I tell you what.
Well played, Jason.
I love beating the football guy who dogged my roster before, and I hope he's listening.
He was making fun of your rookies. He came into my office, and we had a conversation about it. I'm not telling anything stories.
But I heard this stuff on his show.
Mm-hmm. It's a very good day when you can win by scoring 100 points in fantasy.
Dude, I mean, come on. After the way my heart was pulled out of my chest last night, it's the least that the football gods could do for me.
Yep.
Give me a fantasy win.
Yeah, that's good.
Because my real football life, ugly.
Yeah.
So he blessed me. Football gods.
Anyway, that's week one of the NFL. Can't wait for week two, baby.
Philadelphia went out and got some running back help. It's unusual because Saquon Barkley rushed for 2,000 yards last year, but obviously it means that general manager Howie Roseman wanted some depth there, and they went out and got Tank Bigsby. Now, some have questioned this trade, including ESPN. Eagles get Tank Bigsby from the Jacksonville Jaguars, and the Jags get a for next year's draft, a fifth-round pick and a sixth-round pick for Tank Bigsby, who's a big old boy. And that's basically what he is, because he does not catch passes out of the backfield. Now, ESPN has given it a C- for the Eagles, who are usually shrewd in these things.
Yep.
Howie Roseman, considered one of the greatest general managers in the league, and they talk about his resume is long, of plenty of successful hits and acquisitions like this. Jaguars get the A for the two draft picks. Their point, ESPN's point, is sure he's a solid runner, and sure he will give Saquon Barkley more of a blow than Will Shipley, who they currently have. Remember, Kenneth Gainwell is off in Pittsburgh now. He was that guy that used to give Saquon the blow last year. Will Shipley is more of that pass catcher.
Yep.
And my guess here is that what you're trying to do is preserve the tires on Saquon with a more physical back. Okay, you got Will Shipley, who's going to be a little pass catcher for you when Saquon's out. Saquon do both. But so you got him, and then Bigsby is going to be your, you know, pounded guy, short yardage. Hey, Saquon needs a needs a blow, whether it's a series off or whatever else. But we still want to be physical and run between the tackles. You're going to roll with Bigsby. So I don't mind it, because, you know, they clearly see it as a hole.
Yep.
On a team that has very few.
Yep.
The other part they do have to address, I mean, they have a corner situation that's going to have to be figured out at some point. But I guess what I would say is I don't mind this at all for Philly. In fact, I think it's probably pretty smart, because in the end, what you want is a dynamic Saquon Barkley come postseason time,
yep.
Right? And if you've got Bigsby taking much of the punishment for 17 years or 17 years, 16 weeks, the next 16 weeks of the season, that's a good way to go along in doing that. So I think the trade is a good one for the Eagles. I realize they give up some pretty nice draft capital. I think that's why some give the Eagles a C- on this. They think those picks are too high for Bigsby, who does not, as we said, literally does not. I think he's got 9 catches, period, for his career in the time that he's been in the league. Doesn't catch it out of the backfield. But you don't need that. He's a battering ram, and he could take some of the load off of Saquon Barkley in a way that Shipley does not.
Yeah, they've made a couple trades over there. Philly has. They traded for Sam Howell, a backup quarterback. They traded for obviously Bigsby. I feel like there was one more trade that I'm missing here. But yeah, I mean, I don't know why anybody wants to help Philly. That's what I don't understand. It's like, why are you guys trying to? Yeah, that's just a team I don't want to trade with. Because, I mean, I guess from the Jags' perspective, they drafted Tooted and Booted. I don't know. His name's Tooted. Tooten.
Oh, yeah. They like him.
Yeah. Tooted and Booted.
Yeah. He couldn't beat them. They've got him getting ready, and then he couldn't beat out Etienne or whatever else.
Bashul Tooten.
So folks thought that Jacksonville was ripe to want to trade Bigsby.
And Etienne had a huge day, right? He had a huge day against the Panthers, and it looks like he's back to his old form.
How'd you pronounce that first name?
Bashul.
Okay.
I don't know. Bashul. Mm-hmm. I don't know, bro. Apologies. We call him Tooted and Booted. But took it to the club and I said, what's up? Took it to the crib. You know I won't. Tooted and Booted.
All right, man.
Tooted and Booted.
This is not something I want to be a part of.
You know,
of.
I tooted and booted.
What's that word right there?
Calliope. Mm-hmm. What in the world?
So there's something wrong with you and Jeff when y'all see that word. Say it again.
Calliope.
Yeah. He said the same thing this morning. Did you hear the issue?
Me and Calkins?
Yeah.
I missed this morning.
Well, I've never even seen that word.
What happened?
And the smart fisherman was laughing at him.
What was it? What was this discrepancy?
You fell for it too.
Yeah, I mean, I just saw a word. I've never seen a word.
We
like
did
that
when
before.
You did pronunciation of Tooten's first name. It got me to this. I knew that you would fall in that trap as well. Go ahead and give it another shot.
Calliope.
I think Jeff calls it Calliope. It's Calliope.
Calliope. Okay.
Like it's an instrument.
Yeah, okay, it's an instrument.
Yeah, and a Greek, something Greek. Jeffrey knew that part.
Calliope.
Calliope.
No, Jeff, Calkins said the same thing. Calliope.
Mm. Well, what is it?
That's what Caleb Williams looked like in the second half. My point is
that
it's a mispronunciation of the word. Did you not hear the? I mean, the man felt terrible about himself. Man felt terrible about himself. He's mispronouncing the word over and over and over
again.
How
do you pronounce it?
And it took until Fishman came on for somebody to finally get the word to get it corrected.
How do you pronounce?
But apparently, it's a mistake that many make because Jeff, don't feel bad. John just made the same mistake.
Yeah.
Calliope.
Calliope.
Jeff said, you say Calliope, I say Calliope. You said Calliope.
Like cantaloupe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I like what we do with that word.
I mean,
just wanted to play with it a little more, and you did. I was like, most folks know Calliope. Well,
no. No, I've never even heard of that. I mean, so if you saw it, how would you pronounce it?
I would have said Calliope because I'm familiar with what a Calliope. I'm familiar
with Calliope. What would you say? Like, what?
I want to tell you, I heard Calliope. Was there a show, a song named Calliope, or was it a school, an elementary school? No. Was it an instrument we used in elementary, like the recorder or something? Yeah, man, the Calliope.
Calliope.
You and Jeff, man, y'all crude.
Man, it's amazing.
Crude readers.
No, I told you, that guy at the poker table said I was uncultured, man. He's right.
Yeah, Calliope is an instrument.
He really had me pegged.
It's an instrument. Okay?
Yeah. Wow, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you for that. I was like reading Rainbow.
Yeah, so I don't know about, to bottom line this, I'm not sure from you on Tootin's first name pronunciation.
Yeah, I'm...
In fact, I'm not going to trust you.
Basial. I mean, all I can do is just sort of sound it out phonetically, right? If anybody else has an attempt, though, I'm happy to hear it.
It's written real reading Rainbow around here today on the word Calliope.
Basial.
Maybe that Jeffrey can pick it up and keep it going, show to show.
Well, education. Anyway, yeah, it's another weapon for the Eagles, and they play the Chiefs this weekend. How about that? That's a big one.
Huge one.
There's
got a big one, and Packers got a big one, right?
There's a forum at Virginia Tech that's asking, is Basial the correct pronunciation? And nobody responded. So I guess they don't even know. If in Virginia Tech, they didn't know. They just called him tooted and booted. You know, he tooted and booted. Whoa. Anyway, congrats to all involved. All right, last night, I can do this one. I can pronounce this guy's name. Mack Brown was at the Touchdown Club. We of course, work with the Touchdown Club. We sponsor the Touchdown Club. You can definitely check out all the details at 99ESPN.com. We work with LeBron. It's supporting LeBonner, right?
Yeah. Good. Over $20,000 we've raised with this thing over the last 2 years.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
And Mack Brown was there last night, and I say it's a good thing I wasn't there last night because I resembled that remark that he made last night. Now, he used to coach here way back in the day. You know, Mack Brown's 104 years old.
74.
And is that it? Whew.
74. Looked great.
Did he?
I think he should coach at North Carolina still.
Well, I mean, they tried it. And, I guess it wasn't as disastrous as it looked with Bill in week one. But he was out there last night. And he took questions, as you know, these guys usually do. And I guess he was asked sort of about Memphis and the Group of Five and just sort of their place in it. And this video is from Jonah Dillon, but he had a couple of videos on this. And I wanted to just take a listen to what Mack Brown had to say about Memphis and its place in college athletics.
I think the Group of Five should have their own playoff. I think it's unfair that we're talking about one team that might get to the playoff, and they're not going to have near the money of those in the playoff. So they're not going to have a chance to win. So why not let them have their own national championship? I'd love to see Memphis and Boise play for a national championship. We'd all watch it. And it gives every team in Group of Five a chance, like FCS, to have a championship team and have a playoff just like the Group of Four. But I think now that we've separated the money so much, it's unfair to those that don't have money to ask them to try to compete with those that do.
And then there was a follow-up, and I want to make sure we play the follow-up before we weigh in on this, because he went into it in some more detail, and I just want to make sure we get the full picture. This was the follow-up from Mack Brown.
They can still play at the schools. They can still have that access, but they're probably not going to win a national championship. It's just facts. And if you do, you've got to have a great run But even with their schedule being able to be ranked high enough, they're going to get the worst deal in the playoffs. They're going to have the hardest game to start with. So I just think it would be better to have a Heisman Trophy winner in the group of five, have a Butkus winner, a Lombardi Trophy winner, all the things that we're doing for the upper level. I would like to see every young man that goes to that league have that as a goal, and then maybe we wouldn't see as many guys leaving to go to other schools because they'd have a chance to win their own national championship in an area where they might want to live the rest of their life, and they would stay.
Boo! Boo! Mac Brown wants to put you on the short bus. That's where he thinks you belong. If you want to get to school and you play at Memphis, or you play at Boise, or you play at UNLV, or you play at any of these programs, you get to school on the short bus. He wants to separate you from everybody else because he thinks that's the only way that you have a chance. And even if he is technically right-headed in that regard, the idea that we're going to start to do a different award, we're going to start to do a different Butkus, we're going to start – I mean, he didn't mean it this way. But it was extremely condescending what he did yesterday, what he said yesterday, and trying to first of all compare Group of Five to the FCS. Come on, bro, come on. We're talking about tens of millions of dollars difference, and you're going to be saying the same thing about Power Five and Group of Five. There's no question about that. But Boise State, bro, they've been there. Memphis has been in a Cotton Bowl. They didn't get the floor and the field wiped with them against Penn State. They put up 36. So while, yes, you're not going to see a Group of Five team most likely win a national championship, they still belong, man. They still belong 100%. And by the way, we would not watch.
Right.
We would.
That's the biggest key.
No, nobody cares about the FCS playoff. I couldn't tell you who won. I said North Dakota State or something. I don't know, bro. Furman. I don't know who won the damn thing last year. Again, I think his intentions are overall in the right place, and that he wants these schools to win hardware. And he thinks like, but it's like, why are we seceding here? Why are we separating them even more than we already are? Like, we don't need to do that. You know, there's been tons of NFL players that have come from Group of Five teams. You look around the NFL, man. I mean, Calvin Austin is a great example. He came from Memphis. He scored a touchdown last week in the NFL. He's Aaron Rodgers' favorite target. Like, these guys have that ability. They have the. There's plenty of players around the Group of Five, and I don't think it's anybody's job to put those teams in a box. You know, if they can't win, they can't win. That so be it. But let the results dictate that against the Power Five, as opposed to you making the decision for them. Don't put me in a car seat. Ain't no way. Let me go out there and get my ass kicked. So be it.
Well, you also have a responsibility to sell tickets, and you have a fan base. This isn't just about players, Stan. That's the issue. You're talking about retaining players for those. Well, they'll have their own championships to play for. You got to fill a 30,000, soon to be 40-something thousand seat stadium, newly renovated. And if you do that with a, you know, second tier, third tier product, who's going to come and watch it? Do you think because there's a trophy at the end of it and we're in this participation era that we're going to be there because now we have this trophy that says secondary champ? It's a smaller trophy. You think that's going to – no, it doesn't. That's never done it in Memphis. It's not going to do it essentially in college athletics. It's having a seat at the table for these folks. Whether you want to admit it or not, it's the same thing for the – you know, whether you want a minute or not in terms of Memphis's position and where you are outside the power structure, it's the same thing as the NCAA tournament and the smaller schools making it in and what that means to them. They know they're not going to win it, but look at what it does for their school. For this Group of Five position, it's that. I think you would rather, and for your fan base, have a seat at the big boy table, knowing full well, Dan came on here, well, Memphis football is never going to win a national championship. Yeah, we know. But it's about the buzz that you create in being a part of that party.
Yep.
And ask Boise State how much they loved it last year and what it does for your brand.
Agreed.
Just like it does when you're trying to make the NCAA tournament. That's, to me, better. Sitting at the big boy table in that 12th spot, whatever you want to see, whatever, that's who you are in that tournament, right? Having that as opposed to playing for a little boy title.
A little
because
boy
that's
title.
What it's going to be is a little boy title, a smaller trophy. Title. and we're telling ourselves that we're going to enjoy it because there's a trophy at the end and we can say, we're champs. That's what you win your conference titles and stuff for.
Yeah.
So I don't know about condescending and all that, because I think it came from a well-intentioned place of sort of, listen, there's unfairness in college athletics. Let's fix it for the little guy.
Right.
Here's how we do it. We give the little guy a little bit and make him feel better with some other, you know, even making it a, how are you going to double up the doke? What, you said double up the doke? Like, that's, what are you doing? Yeah, it's for one. You don't double up the Heisman for, you don't do that. That's, those are different awards. Anyway.
Totally different awards.
No, he's not. There's, he's well-intentioned, but this is not the way to approach
it. Well, it's not. And
you can't sell tickets on this.
And again, I don't think anybody that's, like, I don't think Boise State would be, you know, or Memphis would be, you know, palatable to this. There's any way they would.
Well, it locks you out of big money.
Exactly.
Any chance at bigger money. This is small fry.
He's
trying to lock you into small 100%. Fry.
If I
lower ceiling.
If I get my ass kicked in the playoff, so be it. But let me go find that out. Let me take my shot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like you don't think Boise State loved that shot at Penn State. They lost. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, they made the playoffs. The fan base was all in. Like. These schools.
I'd rather have that than playing for a little boy title all day long. It's as simple as that to me. I'd rather be at the big boy table with the least chance, but I am there. I'm being talked about. I'm playing first. Imagine the scene that first week. Your fans,
yes,
you know, going to whoever the heck you're playing,
absolutely,
like everything else. That's what the Cotton Bowl was. You were a part of the big party.
You were,
and that's the party we've always wanted to be a part of. You're a program that, yes, basketball has been at the forefront, but that's been about national championships.
Yep.
And so trying to sell little boy national championship around here, it's just in a place where ticket sales are already tough.
Exactly.
And you're not buying in, man.
And by the
that's
way.
That's when folks will jump on and say, you know what, I'm all in on Grizzlies at this point then, because we ain't playing for secondary
time. Well, because here's the deal, right? Like, for 95% of those teams in the group of five, he's correct. They'll never have it. Like, you're going to be talking about the same programs.
They
right?
know that.
But what did we just see from South Florida the past week? Like, South Florida just beat Florida in Gainesville as an 18.5-point favorite.
Yeah, they beat a dysfunctional Florida.
No, but I'm saying, though, like, yes, we didn't know that until after the game, you know?
They got a chance to knock off Miami and maybe would have the most impressive resume in college football.
When Memphis football beat Ole Miss back in 2016, you would have said there's no way that Memphis football beats Ole Miss. Like, there's just no chance.
Yeah, you're talking about one game, though.
I know, but
nobody is winning. Like, there's no pushing back on you will not win.
You could win a playoff game.
Sure, you could.
You know?
I'm not ruling that out.
If you win a playoff game, you clearly belong in the discussion.
But I think just starting there, I know you want to win it, but I think just starting there is enough. It is better than the little boy table, because that's what we talked about with John. When John had that comment, that's why we felt so offended.
Yes.
We don't want to be at the kids' table.
Exactly.
And that's what he's talking about in terms of that league.
Yeah.
It's a kids' table that TV execs ain't interested in and certainly ain't interested in paying you for it.
Nope.
Not anything big or that's going to be significant.
Nope.
And so we like our spot as, you know, David in that spot. And yes, you might have a chance in a generation. You got a generational running back, or you got a quarterback might be going to the NFL.
Yeah.
You might have a chance to win that first game and make some more noise.
Don't tell me I don't get a chance.
That's bigger for your brand and your school. You're filling up a stadium with that kind of level of excitement than you are.
And by the way, we're talking about one spot, bro. We're talking about that's all you get. You know, we're not talking about group of five teams taking 2, 3, 4, 5 spots. They take one every year. That's it. That's all they get, unless it's like a generational, you know, happenstance where two get in, but it would never happen. So we're talking about one spot. Let if I earn it, man, let me go out there and try to win. You know,
I'd like to see Matt go sell it. Go sell that for that's the thing that you have to sell that to television executives. They have to, you know, want folks to. Are they going to watch it? Well, you go get advertised, but that content, right? Who's going to watch it? And so I'd love for Matt to have that part of the plan, because that's why we'll never be there.
Exactly. So, look, I don't think it was like a malevolent.
No, that's what I said. I think
perspective, but I couldn't even tell you who the FCS champ was last year. So,
well, it sounded like a coach's perspective is what it sounded like. A guy that knows his X's and O's and everything
South
else.
Dakota
and you're
State.
Asking him how to fix college athletics, and you know you're touching on a small, you know, you're pulling out a little string of an issue that's way bigger.
Exactly.
In terms of solving, you can't solve the inequity of college, you know, how unfair college athletics
before.
Is for
I
the
mean,
little guy.
Yeah.
It's always going to be like that.
Yeah.
Hell, it'll be like that when, frankly, I mean, this is here the thing. We all will be playing for a little boy title at some point, so long as the Big Ten and the SEC break off.
Exactly.
Like, that's the part where we could say there's some truth to what he's saying, because everybody else will be secondary if those two decide we're taking our football, going home, and going to be the NFL. And that could very well happen soon, you know, at some point.
Exactly.
As fast as this stuff changes.
Anyway, that was Mac Brown last night at the Touchdown Club. I think it's Bob Kessling next week. Bob Kessling.
Yes, sir.
Voice of the is he still the voice?
No, we've got a new voice,
but he's
making the rounds. Yeah, Mike Keith's the new voice, but he's going to be there on Monday at the Hilton Memphis, and we've got a link to purchase tickets, and they're reasonable. You can do one-off tickets for this event or any of the single events. Ryan Silverfields, 929ESPN.com.
There you go.
Yep.
We'll come back. Justin Puente got a new job. We'll talk about that and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 929FM, ESPN.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Dan Williams is going to join us at 1:25. We'll talk to him about NFL and more. But we do have the news that is official. Old friend Justin Puente got a brand new job. We talked to him when he got the TCU radio gig about a month or so ago. Mm-hmm. And he's added another one. Joining the college football playoff as a senior advisor for football. So this is what they say. We're excited to have Justin joining the CFP. He's well respected among his peers in college football, has an impressive knowledge of the game, and understands the perspective of coaches and players. He will be a great fit for our team. In this newly created role, Fuente will be responsible for providing guidance on designated operational matters that enhance the overall quality of the CFP, including consulting with the FBS conference offices, NCAA National Coordinator of Football Officiating, and the CFP's Chief Medical Officer. He will also work with the CFP staff on the implementation of playoff policies and best practices related to game operations, officiating, technology, and other policy considerations. So sounds like, I mean, it's a pretty important role here. I mean, he's going to have direct oversight over, you know, everything. Seems like there's really no limit to what he's going to be doing here with the college football playoff.
Yeah, I mean, the work, you know, I'm not going to try to pull some out. I have no idea what he's doing. They said they wanted a coach's view as a part of, you know, a coaching viewpoint. So you figure you get some no nonsense. Hey, this is how we do it in football. That's what you want out of him. But with all those responsibilities, diagnostics, sound like he's doing tune-ups. I have no idea what the actual job is. In the end, is he just advising and saying, here's who I think are the best teams?
Right.
Because that's what we need, right?
No doubt.
What else do you need in terms of this process and finding the 12 and whatever we expand it to best teams? I'm curious in terms of what the actual role is going to be and what was missing, what was needed that he's bringing to the table. You tell me, hey, a coach's viewpoint, this team's better than this team, and I'm the coach that says so, okay, that makes some sense. But the stuff that you were reading off, it sounds very complicated.
Well, I think it's just a good thing for the playoff in general that, I mean, they're getting a guy that is on the younger side that has worked in multiple – you know, he's worked at the highest, Virginia Tech, and he's worked at the lowest, which was really Memphis when he took the job.
Right.
And what he turned it into. I like that a lot. Again, how much influence he'll have, I have no idea. But I think it's always good to have somebody in that room. Maybe he won't even be in the room. I don't know. But just to have the ear of somebody who's in that room that has represented the group of five,
those
right?
That is, I like that.
You know,
I could see that.
It can't hurt a place like Memphis.
But this year. Pretty simple, right?
Yeah.
Boise State and the Mountain West are weak. Winner of the AAC is – but I like what you're – he's been on all levels and can speak to both sides.
Yeah.
But, again, my only priority is getting the 12 best teams, and you figured you can do that with who's in the room. But I'm happy for Fuente. You add another gig. And for a guy that does, he's as straight shooter as they come. I think that's the way Jeff described him this morning. I agree 100% every time he comes on with us. He cuts right to the heart of the matter.
Yep.
You know, not a lot of BS with Justin Fuente. And having that as part of your panel, good.
Yep.
Good. I think from a football sense.
Yeah, so just while we're on the subject, I just looked at the odds here for the AAC. South Florida is the favorite, obviously, at plus 190. They have made a huge jump. They were like fifth or sixth before the season started. They're now all the way up to the favorite, passing Tulane, plus 190. Tulane second, plus 240. Navy third, plus 450. And Memphis would be fourth at 6-1.
So Memphis is still essentially right. in the same spot it was before the season. It's right. South Florida where the movement's been. Tulane exactly. would have been at the top. The jump is what is noteworthy.
Exactly. So I think that's, you know, we'll continue to sort of evaluate this as the season goes, but it just, you know, it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of work to be in the AAC playoff game, or excuse me, the championship game, you know. And again, you do get South Florida and Tulane here. I mean, I think that is such a significant detail. You know, you don't have to play there. And you're you know, I don't know if you'll be favored now against South Florida. Probably, depending on what happens this weekend, you may not be, but you know, you still kind of have to find a way to come away 1-1 in those games.
My fear is that you know, the American won't get the credit for South Florida's wins, so that say you have an undefeated team that's played no one. Oh, Liberty did that a couple of yep. years ago. Are they 2-0? It might be the similar situation for them again this year.
Yep.
Where do you see where I'm going with this? Where does the committee
point? They did lose at Jacksonville State.
Good. Well, yeah. for them, they're fine. But that you got the James Madisons out there. We had all these other, but you got to go through the CUSAs, the Sun Belts. But the I don't know who it is right now, but my point would be the same as it was for them 2 years ago. What if you have an undefeated, you know, forget the Mountain West. Boise State's already lost. There isn't much in there that's got much of a non-conference resume. What if they decide we're going to take another undefeated because it's so shiny?
Uh-huh.
And again, because, hey, Memphis has suffered a loss to Arkansas. What is a two-loss team in the American? You know, is that still good enough? Will it have to include a South Florida win in that to put you over the top of an undefeated
yep.
team from a lower conference is my question. You
yeah.
see what I'm getting
yeah,
at?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's a hell of a – it is.
I'd have to find those candidates right now because, like you said, Liberty's already lost
right,
one. I'm assuming James Madison, one of those schools that was up there in terms of those others, but I can't remember off the top of my head. And who was at the end now knowing it after 2 weeks? Hell, we're always looking up. We ain't looking down.
Yeah, but, like, you know, I mean, UNLV plays Boise. So, like, that's got to get figured out, right? So even if they don't play a weak schedule – but they,
yeah, I'm counting. I've crossed the Mount West off what South Florida did to them. But I could be wrong in doing so, but I don't know that UNLV or Air Force, has anything non-conference-wise. And obviously they would have to beat Boise, have to win the conference.
Yep.
You have to still be the Group of Five champion. You can't just be, oh, I'm a South Florida team that finished second in the AAC, lost the championship game. Yep. We got all these great wins. You're not in.
Right.
You got to be the champ. I saw a column in USA Today seemed a little confused on that.
Yeah, like New Mexico State and CUSA is 2-0. You're just talking about those teams that don't play anybody that might end up being, you know, they're 2-0.
No, smaller. Just talking about the CUSAs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sun Belts.
That's what I'm worried about. Are you going to make the same mistake you made with Liberty where they absolutely got crushed, you know, by going for that 12-0 and they've played absolutely no one?
Texas State.
Is that?
I mean, they're 2-0.
Those are who I'm concerned about.
Yeah.
If the American eats itself.
Yep.
Now, didn't you tell me Tulane does not play South Florida? Does that sound right? Didn't we go through it and find out that there was a break in terms of?
Well, you got to give them a break somewhere, right? I mean,
but my point would be
they don't play South Florida.
My point would be
they play Duke and Ole Miss, though.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, in American, they don't really play anybody except Memphis here. They go to UTSA.
But they wouldn't have the benefit of beating a South Florida team that's beaten two ranked teams. And
so
you say, ugh.
That's right.
You know, you're taking us. They wouldn't have that on the resume. There is enough there with the Ole Miss. And they knocked off Northwestern. And
yeah.
They weren't as good this past.
They beat South Alabama by two.
Yeah, they weren't as good as this past week.
I'm not really sold on Tulane, to be honest. But
I am sold on South Florida as the favorite, as where you started this conversation.
I mean, and they may get crushed this weekend. But
that's why you. I mean, that's a real dilemma for Golish, like I said. For me, I would say my main concern is coming through this game healthy, and that's starting with my quarterback. I've already done my work. I could lose my season.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture.
From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians,
follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.